Tuesday night.
It's something that I talked about, Russell. I mean, really, the last month, like, we played well in a couple of those games, right? But for the most part, like, the Vanderbilt game, you let those guys back in, right? You let the guys cut an 18-point lead to 1 point. You played like shit against Kentucky. Like, you won that game, so it didn't matter. Everyone was just so happy about it. But you didn't play well, and that's not a good Kentucky team. But we all just chalked it up to, well, it's Rupp Arena.
Yeah.
If you win there, it's good no matter what. And there's some truth to that, and it is kind of I don't want to say the dog days of February, but Tennessee's out of gas. They've played a weird schedule recently where they've kind of been on the road and 9 o'clock games, and like there's a bit to this of just them being fatigued. So I don't know how, I guess, worried I am.
Well, there's a narrative out there that, you know, we tanked the last 10 games last year, the first 2 years under Barnes. And that was the narrative, like, at Texas. Like, they didn't do well towards the end of the season. Now, I'm not an expert. I don't pretend to know. I know they didn't get out of the first weekend the last couple of years at Texas of the NCAA tournament. I don't really know what
Rick Barnes doesn't do that anymore. Rick Barnes doesn't get out of the first weekend of the tournament. That's like why Texas fired him, and it was one of the reasons I wasn't excited about the Rick Barnes hire. Like, I don't know if that's manifesting itself now. Lucas, are our levels good over there? We get a couple of people tweeting that the levels aren't right. Just make sure Lucas Panzica on the board tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, that was Barnes's kind of MO, was his team will get to the tournament and lose. I don't know if that means that they would run out of gas at Texas, right? And if it was a late season swoon.
I didn't watch them.
Right. I mean, I knew the running joke across the country was Rick Barnes loses in the tournament.
Yeah.
Basically since his Final Four run, he's been kind of he took Kevin Durant. I think he won one game with Kevin Durant, maybe.
I think they may have gotten to a Sweet 16 or two, but
I know since 2009 he has less tournament wins than Konzo Martin. And that was when Konzo Martin was at Tennessee. Ugh. Like, Rick Barnes since 2009 has 3 tournament wins.
Yeah.
Obviously, Konzo, I guess, did he even get any at Cal? I don't know if he did, but this was just Konzo's 1 year. He got 3 tournament wins. So when we replaced, you know, Donnie with Rick, you know, with Rick Barnes, I'm just like, why are we so excited? Konzo had more tournament wins in 1 year than Rick Barnes has had in the last decade now, basically.
I'm not pressing the panic button. I want to see what happens against Florida. To me, that's like, you know, the SEC has become a tough league. It's a league of parity. And Georgia, you know, I don't feel like we should be as surprised. Tennessee didn't no-show. They didn't mail it in the way they did against Alabama. But there's no doubt we're struggling, particularly on the offensive end right now. So my deal is you got to beat Florida at home. You have to hold serve on your home court. And you got to beat these guys when they come to Knoxville for that last game of the season. But it's just it sucks to lose to Georgia. You know they're not that great a team. But
it's kind of like the Alabama game, though. And, you know, my main takeaway from the Alabama game was Grant Williams wasn't the best player on the court in that game. And he's not better than Mayton right now. And Mayton didn't even have that great of a game, only 5 for 14 from the field. But he was able to get to the free throw line, right? He shot 12 free throws. So when he was – so you take 14 shots – and then you go to the free throw line another 12 times. And I'm sure a couple of those were and ones, but still, that means you got fouled another 5 times at least.
I mean, Bone 1 of 5 in the field. We've become accustomed to Bone only hitting 1 field goal. Like, we can't live with Grant Williams going 1 of 8 from the field. I don't see any scenario where we win games when that is the case. And puzzling. I don't know, man. It seemed like they had Mayton on him a lot in – he took it to Grant. He got the better of him tonight in a big way.
Grant and Bone combined to go 2 for 13 from the field.
Not good.
I mean, you're not going to win when Grant Williams doesn't.
You can throw 1 of 5 from Daniel in there too. The point guard probably the guard play that we've been harping about all week that like we realize and Barnes realizes and we all realize is a problem for Tennessee right now. Does not get any better tonight.
No bench play really. I mean, JD3 has 3 points. Fulkerson gets 2 on a kind of a fluke play where it was should have been stolen, but it ends up in his hands. You know, outside of Lamonte, he gave you 14, but outside of that, your bench didn't give you anything. And with Bone, I don't know what to do. his last, what, five games?
He has seven assists and no turnovers tonight. So he's still – and that's kind of like a thing for him. Like, he's just not scoring.
Yeah, but tonight he shot five times, right? So, like, if you're getting seven assists and no turnovers and you're not shooting the ball, that's one thing. But when you're going 1 for 5, that's kind of a problem. I mean, just down the stretch here, man, like, this goes back to the loss at Missouri. So, right, we're at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The last 10 games, 1 point at Missouri, 2 points at South Carolina, 2 points versus Vandy, 2 points at Iowa State, 12 against LSU, and that's when you hope he kind of would break out of a slump and get back to playing good basketball. Ole Miss, 3 points. At Kentucky, 4 points. Yeah. At Alabama, 2 points. Versus South Carolina, 2 points. Tonight against Georgia, 4 points. Stop me, please, because, like, he's just – You get the picture. He's just not playing.
Yeah, we don't need
we
don't need 15 a night out of Bone. Like,
I think we need 8.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we need 8.
Exactly. If we could just get that, and he should be able to get that on 5 attempts. You know, if he makes 2 or 3 of those and gets to the line a couple of times,
as explosive as he is, he should be getting the free throw line at least 3 trips. He should be shooting 6 free throws. Maybe that's a lot. Maybe you can say he can get there 4 times. I don't know. But with as explosive as he is, he should be going to the free throw line more than just one trip.
Really, when you look at it, as badly we get no point guard play offensively from an offensive standpoint, and Grant Williams probably has his worst game of the season, that's the fact that, like, we only lost by 11 points is a minor miracle when you look at it from that standpoint. Like, we should have just, like, it gotten blown out in that one. And I go – I don't know what it is, but, like, we can only hit threes when we're down 8 or 10. Like, when the game's teetering on the brink of, like, we're about to get blown out, it seems like we'll get a three or two from Lamonte and Bowden, it seems. But once the game is hanging, is like 3 or 4 point lead there, and we're trying to get back in it, for whatever reason, we just can't make a play. Can't get over the hump. And there was – we had it to – I think it was 51-49 – and we get a stop, and we come back down, and I think it's Daniel pulls the trigger, had an open look for a three-pointer, and it just doesn't go in.
We got, like, 4 rebounds. We got, like, 4 rebounds on that possession. That's the possession. We're down 2, and we get, you know, Alexander's working the boards. We're shooting threes, and then they call the out-of-bounds play on, I believe it was it Daniel, yeah, or was it Turner?
Yeah, or Daniel. He passed it before he landed out-of-bounds, I guess, but he –
To me, that's kind of bang bang, but either way, he threw the ball away. Like, it was going to be
a bad call, but it was
a turnover or a scramble play at worst. Like, that was just a kind of, I guess, a shitty possession. Like, there's no other way to put it. But I mean, that one possession didn't lose you the game. You had 3 shots at it. You couldn't score. Georgia comes out. I believe it's a 3 after that. Georgia hit big shots when they had to, but that's a bad team you lost to. By far, Tennessee's worst loss of the night, or of the season. Excuse me.
You think so? Worse than Bama?
Oh, much worse than Bama. Much worse than Bama.
I think Bama's going to be in the tournament. That team's playing really well right now, despite their loss.
Like, if you tell me, like, the no-show versus Bama and you lose 28 points, sure. But, like, RPI and, like, seeding doesn't really take into account how bad you lose. And Alabama, you know, is a better team than Georgia. Like, Georgia was 14-11 coming into tonight.
Yeah, I don't see a ton of difference. I would agree that Alabama is clearly the better team, but I don't think it's like a huge gap between these. I just see a lot of parity in the SEC. I mean, I don't think Auburn is really – I don't think they're that good, and not just because of that game, the game today. I just don't think they're a dominant team. I think Pearl's done a great job with them to get them where they are, but I don't think they're a dominant team like we've seen some of the Kentucky teams of past or some of Pearl's Tennessee teams.
Yeah, but this Georgia team's lost 6 of 8.
Vanderbilt.
Like, their last 8 games, they've lost 6 of them. Their only 2 wins were both games against Florida.
Yeah, Vanderbilt, clearly the worst team in the league.
Right.
They beat Florida tonight, so.
Well, right, but Vanderbilt beat Georgia by 15.
Yeah.
Like, Vanderbilt beat Georgia by 15.
They beat Alabama. So, I mean, that's why I say I'm not necessarily pressing the panic button, but I am alarmed that we have not looked good for a while now.
We have to panic now before it's too late, type of thing. Like, if you're not hitting the panic button now, like, at what point do you hit it? Whenever we
if Florida
fall back into like a four-way tie with three other teams in the SEC whenever we get bounced early in the SEC tournament, like this team doesn't look good right now.
No, if Florida comes in here and beats us, then yeah, I mean we got major problems. Yeah, I try and maintain perspective and think about what the expectations were about this team coming into the season. But when you get up to number 15 in the country in your top 10 RPI, and you got talk of a 2 seed and the bracketologists and all that stuff, it's hard not to reset your expectations and be disappointed when all of a sudden it looks like it might go awry at the last minute.
Look, you got to take the last 4 games. Like I said, a win at Rupp Arena, but you played shitty. Like, you didn't play good. A 28-point beatdown at Alabama, obviously you didn't show up. A 3-point win against the South Carolina team. I know South Carolina turned around and beat Auburn today, but a 3-point home win against South Carolina, that wasn't a good basketball performance. And then tonight, yeah, like you pretty much trail the entire way, right? Tennessee had the lead, I think, in the first couple. Well, obviously, the first shot of the game, Grant Williams hits. I think they had it with 3 or 4 minutes left in the into the first half. Outside of that, Georgia led the entire way.
Yeah, it was 2-0 to start the game, yeah. And then Tennessee didn't lead after that.
Yeah, they pretty much controlled it. All right, let's get some phone calls going here. Voluntary reaction, 865-546-8200. We got open lines if you want to jump in. What do you think? Are you pressing the panic button now? Or was this just a case of it's the SEC, you're playing on the road, and these things happen? 865-546-8200, your number to call in here this afternoon, this evening. Lucas Panzeca will greet you as you call in to the Mountain View Chevy Studios on the phone exchange phone lines. And for now, Tennessee has to pick up the pieces quickly. You got is it Tuesday or Wednesday night, Florida?
Wednesday at 9.
Wednesday night, 9 o'clock tip. So you've got, I guess the rest day will probably be tomorrow. Then you've got to get ready for the Gators who are going to come in here. And, you know, as we said, they just lost to Vanderbilt. So where's their head at? And everybody's fighting now for jockeying for position. And it's just almost a war of attrition in the SEC right now.
And if you're not panicking, one of the big reasons would be because everyone else in the SEC lost. Right, like your competition, yeah. Your competition for the double bye, they all lost. Alabama loses at Kentucky. Missouri loses at LSU. Florida loses at Vandy. So Tennessee still a game up for second place in the SEC. Like if you're not panicking, that's why. Now Auburn lost, and you could have gained a game on them, and you know had the split championship in play. Hell, maybe you could have, you know, beat them by a game and won the SEC. But right now you're still a game up on Arkansas, Missouri, Alabama, and Florida, who are all tied at 8-6. But the bad news is Arkansas has all of a sudden won 4 in a row, and they've joined that tier of teams Wow. that are only a game behind Tennessee. So, like, if Tennessee struggles against Florida, they could find themselves in a 5-way tie or, you know, really in danger of falling outside the top four.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to separate these two things, and I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. Yes, Tennessee is playing poorly. That is clear. We have hit some speed bumps. Teams, I don't know what it is. Maybe they've figured us out a little bit offensively and kind of know what we're doing and have figured out ways to shut us down on the offensive end. But I'm not pressing the panic button yet because everybody else – and the SEC has these issues all of a sudden as well. Auburn has the McLemore kid out for the season today with a broken ankle. They got just trounced by that crappy South Carolina team today. Arkansas is on a roll. Missouri loses today. Bama loses today. Florida loses today. So people are having the same conversations around the league. It's just a matter of how do we make ourselves different? How do we go ahead and put the fire out and get to that 10-win plateau in conference, that 20-win plateau overall, and get the ball rolling again towards better things in the SEC tournament.
I get it, but this team definitely got overrated after the loss to Missouri, right, when you reel off 6 straight wins. And those 6 wins were South Carolina, Vanderbilt, yeah. Iowa State, LSU, Ole Miss, and Kentucky.
And I think we all knew that in the back of our mind.
I think we'd convinced ourselves that it wasn't a fluke that this team. We started talking one seed. Russell.
Yeah, well,
we started talking one seed.
I never bought into that.
Started talking one seed.
It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with it here at Fox Sports Knoxville. That win streak was good, but I also think that if you've been paying attention to the rest of the league and the rest of the country, you realize that we weren't exactly beating a murderer's row of opponents there. And we don't have a murderer's row of opponents left. I mean, Florida is good, but the two Mississippi schools are not, and Georgia is not, and they come in here again to end the season. So you can still turn it around, but you know, like I said, at this point in the year, man, everybody's figured everybody out. Everybody knows what everybody's going to do offensively. And they've figured out ways to stop it, what works and what doesn't work. And you've got to play through that. And I think this is where coaching comes into it and where, you know, Rick Barnes, you're making $2 million a year. You're the 600-win Hall of Famer, all that stuff. Okay, prove it. You got to come up with some new stuff, man. You got to come up with some tricks down the stretch to eke some games out. It's not necessarily going to be pretty night in and night out, but you got to come up with some stuff to get over the hump in a couple of these games. So what do you got? What do you got? Because you know that Florida, they're going to come in here looking to knock you off. You know that trip to Mississippi State ain't going to easy. I mean, no, Ole Miss isn't going to be a cakewalk down there in Oxford, even as bad as they are and in the turmoil with their season and their coach change going on and everything. So you got to figure out how to win these games, man. And it's just not going to be easy down the stretch.
Monty tweets in, Georgia shot 38 free throws to our 15, 29 of those before we started fouling them. So 29-15. All home SEC teams won as underdogs. I'm not saying the SEC is rigged, but more teams in the hunt for the tourney helps.
The thing I always point out is
I still don't think Georgia's anywhere close to the tournament hunt. I know that the announcer said they're back on the bubble. I don't buy that. I think Tennessee playing for a 2 or 3 seed while chasing Auburn for the championship would be better for the league than putting Georgia somewhere near the bubble. Like if we're going conspiracy theory, I feel like having a race for your regular season crown and trying to have two teams as a number one, number two, or number three seed outweighs Georgia getting on the bubble.
I just don't buy into the first of all, this is not like football where it's SEC officials. There are no conference officials, right? So Tennessee played like shit today, man. Yeah, Anthony Jordan is not that's not a great crew. Every time you look up and you see his bald head coming down the floor in stripes, but I mean, that's not what lost Tennessee the game tonight. Tennessee lost the game because their best players did not play well. Grant Williams, again, with his stat line, 1 of 8, whatever it was from the field. Bone, again, 1 of 5. You got to have some offense. And I felt like, from an intensity standpoint, like we came out pretty good. And I think both teams were struggling like 20%-ish from the field for the first 15 minutes or so, and then it warmed up there towards the end of the first half. Georgia just came out and put up, I don't have it in front of me, but probably, you know, 40 points or so, 40-plus points in the second half. You know, we didn't guard, and we didn't execute down the stretch when we absolutely had to. We had it down to like 2 points several times, 3 or 4 points several times. And, you know, just would almost inevitably immediately give up a little 4 or 5 point mini run. And then all of a sudden it's like 9 point. And when you're playing these possession games, a 9 or 10 point lead just feels like it feels insurmountable at times. It's like being down 28 in football or something. It's just, it's tough, man.
Tennessee hit some timely threes just to stay within striking distance, but just could never, ever hit the shot that got them closer. Or I guess got the stop. They could never get the stop that allowed them to get closer.
Yeah.
Frustrating game. Mark Fox sucks. That doesn't change. That doesn't change. Maybe you allow him to keep his job, which would probably be better for Tennessee basketball
yeah.
in the long term. if they can kind of
you've lost four straight to him now, or five straight, right?
Maybe that's what Rick Barnes is thinking. Yeah, he's playing the long game.
Chess, not checkers.
I'm going to go ahead and give Mark Fox this one to keep him around there. I don't want Steve Forbes going down there and building Georgia up into some sort of a monster. We like Georgia right where they are. We've lost five in a row to those guys, man. I mean, we used to own Georgia. We've lost five in a row to those clowns, man. And they have not had a good team at any point in those five games. I know we weren't any good the past 2 years either, but still, man.
Georgia's had the same damn team for the last 5 years. They're gonna be six or seven games above 500. They're gonna be on the bubble. They're gonna be a threat to upset some people, but they're gonna underachieve. But they're still gonna find a way to beat Tennessee. It's the same damn team.
Golly, man, what a kick in the balls! And nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody's like, "Oh well, just to hell." What do you want to break down about Georgia and Tennessee on the voluntary reaction? It sucked. You know it sucked. I know it sucked. We all know it sucked. It was a kick in the balls, man. And, there's nothing to – I mean, I feel like we've already break it. We'll just finish these drinks and go home, John. It's not even worth breaking down this afternoon, this evening, whatever the hell time of night it is. Oh, my God. What a disaster. What a complete and total debacle.
865-546-8200. If you want to weigh in on the phone,
I guess we do have to stick around long enough to get these live reads in and everything, though. Yeah. We do have business to conduct.
I mean, we could talk about anything, man. I went to the movies today by myself. I went to see Black Panther. We could fix the gun problem. There's so many things we can talk about today.
Yeah, because let's talk about guns. That would actually be a more pleasant conversation than talking about Tennessee's basketball game today against Georgia.
Myself in the head after that performance. We don't have to talk about Tennessee basketball. We can talk about whatever. We can take requests. Well, not song requests. Topic requests.
Yeah, I like that.
Topic roulette.
I'm game.
Topic roulette.
We're Renaissance men. We're not one trick ponies. We can talk about more than sports.
People are happy for us to be in here, but like, there's nothing to. And that's the thing. The basketball season's so long.
I'm just getting mad.
The basketball season's so long that like you can't overreact to one game. And you can't overreact while Tennessee is still in second place in the SEC, right?
Yeah.
You can't – how mad can you be when Tennessee still has a one-game lead for second place in the SEC?
I got a topic for you.
Let's hear it.
There was like a white supremacist talking down at UT this afternoon, and there was like counter-protests and stuff. And – I mean, there's not much debate there, obviously. We all think white supremacists are assholes. They should go home. Did you know that Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt, planned on having a junior day, bring in a bunch of recruits this weekend? And when news began to trickle out that they were going to have this, evidently they decided, oh, well, let's not bring in the recruits while we might have a racially toxic situation on campus.
So wait, we canceled junior day? We canceled a junior?
Oh, we push it back. Again? I mean, we just told guys, it's raining this weekend. You don't want to come. We're busy. We're making spring practice schedule. You don't want to come to Knoxville this weekend. Not going to be fun. Next weekend, though. Man. Next weekend's going to be beautiful.
What was the deal? What was the deal with that? Like, I know that Bev was leading like a anti-hate week type of protest. Lucas, you're a student. Well, you got the emails. What was the deal with the protest today?
To be honest, I don't read any of Bev's
God
emails.
Damn it.
I delete them when I see them. But what I do know is that
I would kill to get on Bev's email list.
But I do know.
Can you start forwarding them to me?
Sure. But there was a white supremacy group that rented out a room on campus or something. And I think when they rented out the room, they said they were something different. I don't know. There was something with that they found a loophole to get
Lucas
on campus.
Lucas obviously doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, no. Don't take a word of that seriously.
I believe him.
I don't think that's true.
Know there was a hate group on campus speaking in a classroom because, like, you know, freedom of speech, so they can say whatever they want. But there were plenty of – campus was pretty hostile from what I saw from Snapchats and such.
These white supremacists are fucking with Jeremy Pruitt's rebuilding efforts.
I mean,
let's not lose sight of what's important here in these racially difficult times, and that's Tennessee football. Keep your eyes on the prize, folks. I mean, You want to come down here and have a damn Nazi rally or whatever, that's one thing. Freedom of speech and all that. But, God damn it, when it starts preventing us from getting 5 stars to campus, that's when you might have a revolt on your hands.
Look, man, Ole Miss was still getting top 10 classes. If every weekend is a white supremacy rally at Ole Miss. Their nickname is the Rebels.
Can you imagine if they had brought in recruits and they're like touring the campus like,
with their
coach,
parents?
Coach, what's that over there? Oh, nothing. We're going to the engineering building right now. It's brand new. We invested $10 million in it. Don't look over there.
Well, that's Antifa. That's Antifa with their masks on, screaming death to cops. And then over here we have all those bald people over there. No, that's not the coaching staff. Don't relate the coaching staff to the skinheads over there. Those are Nazis. And no,
I could see.
Our coaches are just bald because they're follically challenged. They're not Nazis. Yeah,
the cutthroat world of SEC recruiting. I can already see Kirby Smart and Nick Saban making up the – why do Tennessee's coaches not have hair? Coincidence? I think not. You don't want to go play for a bunch of Klansmen, do you?
Both those guys do have hair. Kirby Smart and Nick Saban, they might know. They might already be using it against us.
Pruitt is the only bald head coach in the SEC, right?
No, no way. Really?
I can't.
Is he the only bald?
Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban are balding. They've got comb-overs.
Jimbo's got hair plugs. Jimbo got divorced and got hair plugs.
Looks terrible.
You can look pre-divorce Jimbo versus current Jimbo. The hairs are completely different.
Is Mark Stoops, what's he got going on in that hat?
He's got something up there.
No one's like as bald as Pruitt. I mean, oh yeah, not one follicle.
He just embraces.
We have no slick heads, huh?
He just goes head on. I don't know, man.
What's Barry Odom got hair?
I don't think anybody knows.
From Missouri? I know he's a bulky, stocky guy. Does he have hair?
If Barry Odom walked in here right now, I don't think I'd recognize him, being quite honest with you. Just being 100% honest right now. Chad Morris, too. I don't know what those two guys look like.
Yeah, Barry Odom's pretty bald. He's got a little bit on the side, but he would be considered bald.
He's definitely got the male pattern baldness rocking, but he's always got hats on. Does Jeremy Pruitt wear hats, or does he just rock the bald head?
I think he wears ball cap. I think he goes full baseball cap.
I can't respect a head coach in a ball cap, though.
Why not?
What head coaches wear ball caps?
Phillip Fulmer wore one. Jimbo Fisher wears one. Huh? Couple guys with rings.
A couple guys past their prime.
Like, when you're bald, man, you're out there coaching. You can't go visor. You're going to get sunburned.
No, you just put some sunscreen on your head.
Sunscreen doesn't cut it all the time when you're out there 3+ hours, man. Melanoma's a serious deal, John Reed.
Jimbo coaches in a ball cap? Is that real?
Most of the time, yeah. When I picture Jimbo on the sideline, he's wearing a ball cap.
Didn't Chip Kelly wear a ball cap?
Jimbo does wear a ball cap, according to pitchers.
I think Chip Kelly was a visor guy.
I think Jimbo just doesn't want us unveiling how his hair plugs and his hair transformation.
How do you want?
He's equivalent to Steve Carell in the first season of The Office, when you could tell how bald Steve Carell actually is. And then all of a sudden, season two, he comes back. He's got a nice thick head of hair because he did 40-year-old virgin. You're not fooling me, Steve Carell.
Wayne Rooney tried to pull that trick, too.
The only person that's ever pulled off is Brian Urlacher. And he just came out and said, yep, I was bald.
That's what Rooney did, too. He admitted. I mean, you gotta embrace it head on. It's like, dude, like, you're not fooling anybody. LeBron James. I mean, come on, man. We know something's going on up there.
Joe Buck's hair plugs almost ended his career.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he almost lost his voice, though,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, he looks great.
Yeah.
But he almost lost his voice.
Because of the hair plugs?
Yeah, the surgery. I don't know if they
pressed down on a vocal cord or something, and he couldn't speak above a whisper for months. He thought his career was over.
Yeah, it's true.
All because of the hair plugs. But I read he's had like dozens of cosmetic surgeries, right? And he talked about it, how he became mentally obsessed, almost like, you know, almost like a Joan Rivers situation, where he's just having more and more surgeries, and eventually he had to realize, like, wait a minute, my voice is what's actually important here. Yeah, I do the stand-up before the game and at halftime, but I would rather be bald and have my voice than have a thick, lush head of hair and not be able to speak, because at that point, what's the point?
He didn't tell anyone about his hair. He said it was a disease when it was going on. He just told everyone he had a virus. I read his book over the summer. It's the only reason I know this.
One in Strikes points out Les Miles was the Mad Hatter, so yeah, he coached in hats.
Yeah. I think you're I mean, how would you prefer Jeremy Pruitt? You just like embrace the bald look, just go out there, no hat, no visor.
As
just
one
like,
of
here
his bald brothers, just own it.
Just here it is.
I don't know. Like we compare all these coaches to Nick Saban, right? Could you imagine Nick Saban in a fucking ball cap? No, he don't have time for that. He just combs over his hair perfectly. It stays like that year round. Jeremy Pruitt's hair is going to stay like that year round. Just go out and embrace it. I don't want to see my coach in a ball cap.
Harbaugh rocks.
Harbaugh finishes third and fourth in the East every year, or in whatever division he's at in the Big Ten as well. You know who doesn't wear a ball cap? Urban Meyer.
You know who
James
else
doesn't Franklin. Wear? James Franklin embraces the bald.
Will Muschamp doesn't wear one.
Well, he's got a nice head of hair. He's got a nice head of hair.
I'm just saying.
James Franklin,
there's
bald.
There's no James Franklin bald reason to this. I think
it embraces it.
If I were bald.
Really good coach.
I would want to take care of my skin. I would want to wear a hat.
Yeah, just put some sunscreen on.
You do see Nick Saban. He wears the full, like, Indiana Jones-style fedora during practice.
Yeah, at practice, break it out, Jeremy Pruitt. But on game days, I don't want a hat. If he really cared about his skin, you know what all these coaches would wear? They wouldn't wear ball caps. They'd wear cowboy hats. Extra protection on the face.
My father
had skin cancer, and they said, look, if you're going to work out on the farm, if you're going to be outside, you need a cowboy hat. You need the extra protection. Keep the sun off your nose.
I would gain a huge measure of respect for Jimbo Fisher if he said, you know what, I'm in Texas
hell
now,
yeah.
The Texas heat,
get him a cowboy.
I'm in Texas anyway, I'm going to coach in a damn cowboy hat
now
like Bum Phillips. I'm going to be out there on the sideline. Just, I mean, what a alpha move that would be to come out in a damn cowboy hat at Kyle Field.
Would he have to wear it over the headset, or would they have to modify a completely new headset to fit the cowboy
hat?
I
didn't think it through that far.
Bluetooth. Like, you got the earbuds now. You don't need a headset. Topic roulette. Send them in or give us a call, 865-546-8200. There's nothing else to say about this basketball team. They're running out of gas. But I do think that they're going to be a good basketball team when they get some rest. Right? In between the SEC and NCAA tournament, they're going to have 4 or 5 days. They'll be fine.
Yeah, and I still think this is SEC, you want to finish top four, right? Because you want those two byes.
Maybe.
You have nothing to gain by playing a mid-range team on Thursday.
Get a good game under your belt and practice. Beat the hell out of the 12 seed.
I want a top four seed. I want to play on Friday. Have those
get
days off.
Win under your belt.
You know, I feel I don't think we're going to win the SEC tournament anyway. If we're going to lose, we might as well lose to a team that doesn't suck.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. But I'm just saying, like, if you do end up having to play on Thursday, it's not the end of the world. Just get an opponent you should beat. Now, granted,
if you lose to Vandy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Granted, we did.
Georgia beat us there last year.
When we beat Vanderbilt in Rick Barnes' first year. Did that end up knocking them out of the tournament, or did they still get in? I remember thinking we might have knocked them out of the tournament, but I can't remember if they got in or not. I think they got in, then lost in the first round.
That year, Hubs hit the crazy shot right at the buzzer.
Yeah. Send overtime, and then we beat them in overtime. And then beat LSU, too, I think, right? Or no? No, it'd be Auburn, then Vanderbilt.
There was a weird, somebody hit a shot at the buzzer, and did they wave it off?
Yeah, I think the Hubs one was during the regular season at Vanderbilt.
Wade Baldwin hit a shot.
Yeah, and then I think Armani Moore hit a game winner, and then Wade Baldwin got it off at the buzzer, but it was, like, on his fingertips when the buzzer went off.
I was there. Humble brag.
Congrats. 865-546-8200. Your phone calls, which aren't coming tonight, are brought to you by The Phone Exchange on top of Bearden Hill. You check them out. Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade a pre-owned phone. If you've got an old phone, maybe you got a new one for Christmas, you stuck your old phone in a drawer somewhere, it's in your bedroom and your key drawer or something, you take that old phone up to The Phone Exchange, and they will buy it from you, and you can walk out of there with straight cash, homie. Or if you need a phone, you go up there at Phone Exchange. They'll hook you up too. Every phone they sell comes with a 30-day warranty, so they stand behind the quality of their product at the Phone Exchange. Top of Bearden Hill, right next to Soccer Taco, across the street from Zoe's and Bonefish. Justin Hanna wants our Daytona 500 picks. You a big NASCAR guy, Reed?
I'm going to get into NASCAR this year. I've made the claim that I'm the most well-rounded sports host in Tennessee, the whole state of Tennessee.
Really?
I've made that claim.
You've made that claim. Based on what?
I know a lot about a lot of sports.
Your extensive knowledge?
I know a little bit about a lot of sports.
That's all. I know a little bit about a lot of things,
too. You don't know shit about the NBA.
I know shit about the NBA.
You don't know.
Ask me anything.
Who's leading the league in three-point percentage right now?
Golden State.
I was talking about players. And I don't think it's Golden State either. Maybe as a team, they don't shoot the most threes, though. A lot of people think they shoot the most threes. They don't. Don't try to rebuke my claim now.
Who shoots the most threes? Houston?
Yeah, Houston. I think Golden State.
See, I know shit. I think I've established. I know shit.
I think Houston actually shoots like the seventh or eighth most threes.
So who you got in NASCAR? Daytona 500 tomorrow.
Chase Elliott. Did he win the pole? He won the pole, right?
I don't know.
I need a driver. I need to get into it. Cody likes it on Talk Sports, and I can never talk to him about it.
Really?
Yeah. Dale Jarrett used to be my guy, but now I don't have anybody. Then I kind of rooted for Gordon and Jimmy Johnson. I don't ever, have anybody to root for. I can't root for a lot of people said root for Bubba Wallace, but I remember he came and posed with Butch Jones, so he's out. Can't root for that loser.
It's a time of change for NASCAR with Dale Jr. retiring. I mean, obviously, he has been the most popular driver since forever, and so a lot of people, their allegiances are up in the air. The attendance has been down, and the ratings have been down in that sport for a long time now. So I'll watch the Daytona 500. I used to be real big into NASCAR for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I like the restrictor plate track races. Mm-hmm. I love me some Daytona and Talladega. And just because of the unpredictable nature of it, and you never know who's going to win. So I'm looking forward to it tomorrow. I have no idea who's going to win. Have not been keeping up with it that closely. Let's go to the phone exchange phone lines. T-Carp.
Golden State shoots the 17th most threes in the NBA. They do have the highest percentage, but they don't shoot anywhere near the most. They shoot the 17th most.
Very conservative Golden State Warriors.
Lakers are number one. Lakers are just out there playing.
How about that? Just winging it.
That's surprising, John, that the Golden State Warriors are 17th.
Actually,
they make so many.
Actually, I was right the first time. 11th. Who's this? I was on field goal attempts that time. 11th. Houston, number one.
Still surprising.
Yeah.
As a non NBA fan, and I know nothing. That sounds extremely surprising because I know I think of what's his name just chalking up threes. From wherever
they shoot 29.8 per game. Get this. Houston shoots 42.8. Houston shoots over almost 13 more, exactly at 13 more per game. 42.8 three-pointers attempted per game. That's a lot.
That's chalking it up a little bit.
They only shoot 84 times per game, Russell. They shoot half their shots from three. That's how the game's going. I thought that's how Rick Barnes said he wanted to play. Do we shoot a crazy amount of threes? Because when he first got here, we're going to shoot a lot of threes.
Let me ask you something. Because I have heard, and I do not, I will freely admit not following the NBA. I watch during the playoffs, and that's about it. But it seems like the analytics of that game and what we're talking about is they've determined that basically you need to shoot a three or a layup, and anything else is a wasted, inefficient shot.
Yep.
And thing I've noticed about Barnes is he loves that curl screen jumper at the elbow.
He's an old man.
And I've gotten into an argument with people about this. I feel like that's an inefficient shot. And we do run a lot of two wings in the corners, point guard up top. We do that a lot, but we also – nobody runs that. You never see that in the NBA,
right? If you have somebody who's 65% from the mid-range right there, then it's efficient. But if you have someone who's shooting 50%, which I assume most college players are only going to hit about half of those, right? Then, it doesn't make sense. But, if they can shoot 65%, sure. But otherwise, it's
do you
really
like? Because I don't like that. We run that at least two or three times a game.
If you need a bucket, sure. But, in the flow of the game, not really. Does that make sense? If it's a close possession, take, for instance, when Grant Williams got the ball in the low post and he kind of shot that 10-foot jumper against South Carolina. It was a one-point game. It was controlled. You needed a go-to bucket. That's okay. But, I'd much rather shoot threes in that shot over the course of the game. Does that make sense?
So if it's coming out of a timeout and you need a bucket, get it to your best player and let him do it?
Yeah.
I guess that makes
sense. Because if you're coming out of a timeout, then, like, they're going to be guarding the three-point line a little harder. And Jordan Bone's not getting to the free-throw line, and, like, he's not creating open looks. So, like, go to your best player in that regard. But I'd rather shoot 15 threes than 15 of those shots throughout the rest of the
game. We don't have those numbers, but it feels generally like we've hit that shot about 50% of the time this year.
And that makes it not good. T-Carp, thanks for calling in, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. No, I'm just hanging out with you guys.
Appreciate it.
Enjoying trying to figure out what to talk about. I don't want to get into my usual, you know, my two-trick pony type of thing. I do think Beverly should have just let it go. Let an idiot be an idiot, and don't give him any – I honestly don't think people would have known he would have shown up, talked to, like, 15 other idiots and gone on. But she made a big deal about it, and then you have people knowing about it, then you have Antifa showing up. It's a bad look for Knoxville. I hate it. I just hate it because just Knoxville's better than that. Knoxville's better than two idiots on the side of the street and flipping, you know, Tennessee Highway Patrol having to stand in between and listen to that garbage.
How big was this story, though? I mean, I saw it because it was on Twitter, but, like,
yeah, that's what I saw.
Is the average person is it going to make big news today?
It was all over local news.
It was,
like, when I woke up. I live in Fort Sanders. When I woke up to a helicopter just circling. Okay. I heard it come and go every, like, 5 minutes.
Okay,
it was all over every local news channel.
Okay,
so I'm like you, John. I get most of my news from Twitter, so I don't know if it was on, like, any national or anything. But
right, sometimes I don't know. Sometimes we catch ourselves in that Twitter bubble. Right, where, like, we've got Twitter so catered to what we want to know about, and we forget that, like, most people aren't on Twitter. Like, just, like, go to Facebook and compare it to Twitter. Like, Facebook's still a lot more people and a lot more of the, I guess, the quote-unquote common folks than Twitter is.
I can see that. I don't know. I'm just sick and tired of all that crap, to be honest with you, and I'm honestly sick and tired of politics. You guys know how I feel about, you know, even the gun issue. I'm not going to change anybody's mind, and I feel like I'm done arguing about that too. When it comes to other things, I mean, heck, Rick Barnes, I still think he's a good coach. But if we, like you said, if we lose to Florida, I'm concerned. And John Sweet said it again tonight. He says, you know, we're a little bit better basketball, a little bit better than average basketball team in a very average season. And we need to just figure something out. We need to be more consistent. Grant, you know, your two best players can't just go garbage on you. They can't just stop. I don't know what the answer is, but maybe this team just needs rest. Who knows?
I would think that rest would help the most right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same way.
Although, like, I don't know if they're going to be able to find that rest in between now and the SEC tournament. By the way, don't quote that idiot John Tweet on here.
That's good. I like John. John's a good dude.
Don't quote that idiot John Tweet on here.
Known dullard.
He's an idiot.
Well, question. Has John Tweet and Jamie, are they truly 100% wrong on Rick Barnes, or are they right and we don't know it yet?
Well, I mean,
they've been just total Barnes bashers. I mean, let's just
I don't know. I think they've kind of come around, like, from my conversations with them on the drive here lately. It's like they've kind of, you know, nobody ever wants to admit that they're wrong. Nobody is ever going to say, oh, yeah, man, I just missed on that. But I think they've kind of gotten on the bandwagon as much as they can and realized that, you know, things are going much better than they had anticipated.
But are they right about the recruiting, man? I mean, Barnes isn't going out, like you said, and getting 5 stars. But then you bring up the point where it's like, well, what 5 stars is he supposed to get? Like, name one. And, you know, I can't. I can't name a 5-star.
Well, there's some good players.
Like, he'll get 4 stars.
I mean, there's some good players in this. Braxton Key was from Nashville. He's playing for Alabama. He was a 4-star top 100 guy that Barnes did not go after very hard. Abdullah Doe at Mississippi State is a pretty good player. The Yurt 7 kid at NC State is pretty good. We'll see what happens with Petrusev when he goes to Gonzaga. Rick Barnes recruited all these dudes, right? But you know what? We've already seen Alabama's gotten in trouble a little bit with Colin Sexton. Yurtseven had to sit out the first 10 games for NC State. Check back here in about like 6 or 7 months, whatever this FBI stuff comes out, and we'll find out whether or not Barnes was doing the right thing all along.
I've been saying that. I think all the people complaining about his recruiting are going to be thankful in a year or so that he hasn't been recruiting as well as he has, because he's the only one not cheating.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see.
I mean, if we had to cheat to sign Kyle Alexander, then just shut it down, man. Who cares at that point?
Yeah, you said that early in the week, and I 100% agree with you. And one other thing before I hop off here. Guys, let's be straight. Players get paid by certain people. Like, like college basketball is dirty, and college football is dirty. These kids need to be paid. I don't buy into the whole, they're getting a scholarship and they're getting an education. Because honestly, I don't believe they get a good education. Cool, man. Unless they actually go into a field that'll get them a job. So I don't believe in that.
Cool.
So my thing is pay these kids the money they need, the money that they're bringing in, pay them a small percentage of it. Because I'm sick and tired of this university making so much money off these kids' backs. And I'll get off here and let y'all talk, but. See you guys. Thank you for what you do.
Appreciate the phone call, T-Carp. Never mention that idiot John tweet again, though, on a show I'm on. I can't stand that guy.
Really? Got heat.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Sounds personal.
He's an idiot.
Bear is up next on the phone exchange phone lines. What's up, Bear?
You guys talking NASCAR, I heard?
It was like the bear signal shining up in the sky. You had to call in.
Laying in the recliner watching the men first run of the men's Super G. A little tingly about tomorrow. My man Bubba Wallace, and the 43 Petty machine.
The 43. How about that?
It's time for the 43 is going to return to victory lane. You with me, John? Can you go for Bubba Wallace?
No, that's Butch Jones's guy, and I'm not rooting for Bubba Wallace just because of that.
Man, but you can't do that.
No,
man.
Bubba Wallace is dead to me.
No. Anybody halfway decent. You can't let that.
Too late.
Fine.
Alex Bowman. Alex Bowman's in the 88 car. That's my guy now.
You going with the 88? You staying with the 88?
I'm
huh?
staying with the 88. I was born on March 8th. My birthday's coming up, by the way, guys. And I'm just going to ride with the 88 car.
Happy birthday.
You're a little bit early. A little bit early, guys.
How's my dude Trevor Bain looking?
Nah, he sucks.
Oh, man, I haven't.
But it's not about, like, with the beautiful thing about Daytona, it's not necessarily about who sucks, man. Do you have enough engine to get you there? And can you survive and just hang around and be in the top 10 or so in the last two laps?
Well, that you got to have it. It all comes down to who's behind you. I don't know. This new package is kind of wacky. I think there's going to be a lot of crashes tomorrow. So rough. So, I mean, I know you live for watching.
I love it.
You know, people hitting a wall.
Absolutely. Fiery wreckage flying up into the stands. People running around with their hair on fire. That's what I'm here for.
Jesus. So I really just sat and listened to whether or not John fucking tweet was right. You serious?
Amen, Bear. Amen.
I mean, we're going to have to deal with him all week bashing my man Barnes. I'm a John. They look like they need some rest. So
they're gassed.
Stegman just Stegman, man. We don't, you know.
I wanted to say, Bear, I heard the show yesterday. I appreciate the love for my raps.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, John.
I appreciate the love.
I've heard about it. I'm not going to lie. I sniggled and snickered.
Much respect.
Sniggled is not a word.
Yeah, it is. Look it up, jackass. So I was, I thought it was pretty funny until John Reed was sitting at his computer, looked over at me, gave me that sly grin, and pushed play.
I appreciate the
you
love,
You are the
Bear.
Best rapper to stab me. Who would you put second?
Definitely not Rick.
Are you rapping currently? Is this like
something you used
to do?
This was back in the day.
Back in the day?
Back in my old days.
Yeah,
back when I was running. Back when I was running the streets,
man.
Running the streets.
Back when I was running the streets.
When you were slanging,
I wouldn't go that far. Feds might be listening.
Were you in the game?
You cops?
He was in the rap game.
What if Kelly? I mean, does McClure have any talent?
He plays guitar. We should start a rap rock band. That's what we should do. That's what we should do. This is a really good idea. A rap rock band.
I mean, when I went to New England, this gave me some confidence. I went to New England, right, for the playoff game. I was in Boston. There was this band.
Boston.
There was this band playing at this nightclub, and there was nobody at the damn bar. Nobody. My group of six were the only people in the entire bar, so this band was playing just for us. Just for us. There was nobody else there. They're like, what do you guys want to hear? And all I was like, you know any Tom Petty?
Freebird.
Yeah, well, funny you should say that. My friend Terrell was like, Freebird, and he didn't really realize it was kind of an asshole thing to say, like to play Freebird, that was kind of like an overdone joke. Yeah. But these guys went right into Freebird, but the crazy like breakdown part of Freebird,
the solo.
Yeah, and like they just rocked it, and it was pretty badass.
They have three guitars?
They had two, I think.
You could do it too.
But my point was, like, those guys were good, and they brought absolutely nobody to the bar.
Yeah.
We could put a rap rock group together, and I would get people to come watch.
We could talk about it on the show.
I would be a bigger draw than those guys. And they had like their name on like a calendar and everything inside the bar. I could outdraw those guys.
You should do it, man.
100%.
You gonna let Chris in the band?
Only if he'll commit to fully shaving his head. You can't have any balding guys in your rap group.
You have to fully commit to shaving
the head.
Chris is balding? He's always wearing that hat.
There's a reason.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
I love Houston.
Mind blowing GIF right now.
He needs to fully commit to the bald head.
I don't think I've ever seen him without the hat on.
If there's going to be white rappers in my group, they got to go full bald.
One of my best friends, like growing up, was the guy who wore he was balding early and he started wearing the hat. Like when he's 20.
Yeah.
I've never seen him without the hat. Yeah. And then like one time I saw him, I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah, no.
Like, you're bald, dude. I didn't even know that.
Like, it's not that bad. It's not like awful for Houston, but like I definitely can't have him in my rap group.
I mean, I didn't even know this was a thing. How did I miss this? He's always wearing a hat. Wow.
Yeah, me too. My mind is blown right now.
I'm just absolutely. I mean, there's more than Houston. I mean, I need to embrace it. I may just shave it all off tomorrow, John. Show up to the station.
Bear always wears a hat.
I'm a hat guy.
What do you think about Jeremy Pruitt wearing the hat? Are you as triggered by that as John is?
Nah, Fulmer wore a hat. He won Natty. Won a Natty.
I think the hat. Like, if you're gonna go with headgear, I think the hat is more manly and rugged than the visor. I think the visor's a little soft, if we're being quite honest.
What do you think, John? John advised me not to go with a visor.
I mean, yeah, Nick Saban doesn't wear a hat. You know who else didn't wear a hat? Butch Jones and Derek Dooley. Food for thought. I think you either wear a ball cap or you go without the hat.
Look, Butch Jones' first red flag was that he wore a flat top. All right, that was his first mistake. Like, I could have told you the guy I could have told you the guy was a moron when he's still rocking the flat top and not being military. Shout out to
Let's be honest, man. The guy was a fucking narc.
Shout out to all my military men. If you guys are rocking the flat top, you have my respect. But you are the only people that should be rocking the flat top. That should have been your first red flag.
I mean, his dad was a cop.
Doesn't matter.
Are you anti-police?
I'm not in Antifa, if that's what you're asking. I wasn't rallying.
Anti-Butch.
But he's not a cop. Is he paying homage to his dad? My dad wears a cowboy hat every day. You don't see me walking around with a fucking cowboy hat. And he's a legit cowboy. Like, you know, paying homage to your dad, sure, that's cool, I guess, but.
He's that guy that didn't get invited to the cool party where everybody, you know, is doing, you know, crazy stuff. And then they fucking calls the cops on you. Calls the cops on the party.
I'm looking at WVLT just put up a story about fans frustrated with the Butch Jones Jumbotron at Neyland Stadium.
You fucking think?
Really triggered about that Jumbotron.
All right. Well, I'm getting ready to go watch some more Super G and get ready for Daytona, boys.
All right, man. Thanks. Bear has left the building, 865-546-8200, if you want to get on the phone exchange phone lines. It's so much more fun when we're not talking about the actual game that we're supposed to be doing a post-game show for.
I mean, I don't think anybody's missing it. I mean, let's see. Let's check the old Twitter mentions. Okay, we got from Dakota. Let's not forget we are not supposed to do anything this year. Add a decent point guard recruit and think about next year. We're going to be fine, fellas. This isn't our deep NCAA year. That's okay. That's fine. But like that changed 2 weeks ago. We all started thinking Sweet 16, Elite 8. And I'm still okay thinking with Sweet 16. Like I haven't given up on this team. I think they're out of gas. As far as a point guard recruit goes, like, okay, well, do we have one? Is that Simmons? Is that Simon's guy a point guard? I was under the impression he was like a two guard or a wing.
I think he's a combo guard. I think he can play with the ball in his hand. I think there's
You watch a lot of his film?
I've watched a little bit, yeah. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know what I'm talking about.
You're kind of sitting here pretending like he can play with the ball in his hands. You're kind of pretending.
He's projected in a lot of mock drafts to be a first-round player. So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say he's a pretty talented player.
That would be your first mistake. NBA noob. Just because they're projected high doesn't mean they're already good. It just means that they think that they'll grow into be somebody good. That's all I'm saying.
It's not foolproof, but it's a pretty good indicator. I was
told that as long as like he wasn't a top five pick, that his mom wants him to go back to school. And he's not gonna be a top five pick. He's not gonna be a top 12, top 15 pick. So he should be coming to college. And I was told if he comes to college that Tennessee's probably going to get him. It's down to kind of Tennessee and Florida, right? Is that true? Is it Tennessee, Florida?
He visited NC State a few weeks ago. It sounds like Tennessee's positioned well. But the thing about it is, like, as we go on to the end of the season, like, the Kentuckys and Dukes and Kansases of the world.
All of a sudden get in on him.
Yeah, if they're like – if they strike out on the other guys they're looking for, all of a sudden he becomes the hottest chick at the bar at closing time. And if schools like that swoop in at the last minute, are we going to be able to hold them off? I don't know.
They might all be on death row. Currently looking at an NBA mock draft right now, and he's not listed for either the first or second round. So I don't think he's on anybody's radar in terms of like being a high draft pick.
I mean, that would be great, obviously.
But some people might not know that he's eligible. They might just be looking at college kids since you have to be a year out of high school.
Yeah. He and the other guy is Tyler Harris, Tony Harris's nephew, he's a top 100 player, according to 247.
Give me somebody related to Tony Harris. Let's get that guy in here. Let's get some dogs in here.
He's very small, much like Tony Harris was.
Yeah, be able to beat somebody's ass, most likely.
Run off the bench with a cast on his foot, ready to throw down with Kentucky. I mean, there is something to be said for that. Like, how long do you wait? How long do you wait on Simons? Because Memphis, Iowa State, some of these other big schools.
We're not only going to have one scholarship offer, though. We're going to have more than one scholarship available. Like, there's not everyone on this team coming back next year. We'll have something open up with transfers.
You would think so.
I feel pretty confident on that. JD3's gone, so you have at least one. But I'm pretty confident we will have another one come open.
Let's get Georgia Vall in here next on the phone exchange phone lines. What's up, Georgia Vall?
Greetings from Athens, Georgia.
Oh, no.
It should go without saying it ain't easy being orange.
Brutal. Brutal.
Oh, and imagine just moving here from Knoxville this year. Perfect timing, right?
Yeah. You at least got to see them lose to Alabama. At least you got that going for you.
So funny story about that before anything basketball related. I was at one of the main sports bars in downtown Athens. And I put my phone away for second down because I wanted to be able to capture third down. And I look up at the TV, see Alabama hit the Hail Mary. Never seen a place get so deadly silent in my life. There's one person in this bar smiling. Guess who that was?
Feels good, huh?
I'm going to guess it was you.
It felt pretty good, not going to lie. A little bit of silver lining in an overall pretty terrible year. So,
did you go to the game tonight?
So, you know, as Vol fans, sometimes you get that feeling before you go in a stadium or arena where you know everything that can go wrong is going to go wrong. I got it in 2016 when we played at Vanderbilt, stopped outside the stadium, decided to go watch it at a bar because had that gut feeling.
Really?
Same as last year, playing Georgia at Neyland. You get that gut feeling, you just know, like, it's all going to go wrong. I walking up to the arena tonight, got the gut feeling, turned around, went home.
You got to the arena and turned around and went home.
Like, you paid for a ticket, you had that, and you're just like, not today.
No, I didn't pay for a ticket. I'm a graduate student here, I'm a UT alum.
Okay. So
it was free, but.
You're just like, no, I'm not going in there.
Yeah, like, worst case scenario, which I can definitely see happening, is me having a bunch of grown men barking at me as I'm walking out of that place, and had enough of that during football season, so.
Oh, you chose
really
wisely.
Trying to do that again.
You chose wisely, no doubt.
Also, I'd like to give a big shout out to Big Tobias Harris, competing in the 3-point competition tonight. Did pretty well, actually.
Looks like Devin Booker is going to win it, though, right?
Yeah, Devin Booker's going to win it.
Devin Booker put up 28 points in the final round. Holy shit! 30 is the max.
Put up 19.
Good for Tobias. I like Devin Booker's game.
Did you think he was going to be that good when he was at Kentucky?
Well, he was a sixth man, so no, you can't say that. And like, we still don't know if he's good in the sense of
can he be on a key player in a championship
right,
team?
Like, he's just on a shitty team putting up points. Like, the game he scored like 70 points in, they lost by 20. Like, they were just giving him the ball to let him shoot. He's a solid player. I still think he's promising, but yeah, like, I'll hold off on saying that he's a that good type of player, if that makes sense. Everybody's got to get points on shitty teams. Ain't that right, George Vall?
It's absolutely right. It's the way you make a living.
It's the way I make a living.
I did call in to make one point, though, just about the state of basketball. And not to name names, but Negavals like John Tweet, who are always bashing Rick Barnes, I think they lose perspective of what Tennessee basketball is. We're a football school. Everybody knows that. And no matter how excited we get about Tennessee basketball, I think we could make the Final Four and football fans would get more excited for a 10-win season, to be honest. That's just the state of who we are. Your job as Tennessee's basketball coach is not to sit there and make Final Fours year after year or have top 10 recruiting classes. Your job is to make the tournament every year and occasionally make it to the second weekend. I'm pretty fine with that. That can hold me over to football season. I don't know about y'all's opinion, but that's just how I feel.
I put up a poll question. It was the Wednesday of signing day, and Tennessee was, you know, getting ready to play Kentucky the next. I guess it was the Tuesday before signing day, and Tennessee was getting ready to play Kentucky. And I asked, would you rather have one elite cornerback in that class or a win at Kentucky? And the vote came back. They'd rather just have one high school cornerback say he's coming to play football at Tennessee. So no, like you're definitely right.
It kind of reminds me of that other poll question where they polled fans asking them if they'd rather their WNBA team win a championship or find like $10.
Yeah.
And the vast majority was $10. It's kind of like that poll, but
yeah.
I guess for Tennessee football fans.
A little bit sadder when it's like a D1 basketball team.
Yeah.
I consider myself a really big Tennessee basketball fan. Like, I want them to succeed. That's why tonight sucked, but I'm still not going to panic because they're one game ahead. For second place.
Yeah, nobody thought we'd make the tournament. And then on top of that, you guys just mentioned it. Right now we're losing one player, probably more to transfers, but we're bringing a lot of big guns back next year. So, like, this year's kind of playing with house money as far as how far we're going to get. Up to this point, I'm pretty satisfied. It's a crappy loss. It sucks that it's Georgia. It sucks that they have grown men that bark at people and just all-around jerks, but perspective-wise, we're still in second in the SEC. We're still going to make the NCAA tournament, so I'd say let's calm down a little bit before, as fans, we light the torches on tonight.
Appreciate the phone call, brother. 865-546-8200 if you'd like to hop in.
It is the voluntary reaction as we lament another disappointed Tennessee basketball loss. We thought this was the night that we might get to 20 wins, but falling at Georgia tonight and pretty disappointing for Rick Barnes and the boys as they have to put this one behind them pretty quickly. Is pretty good Florida team comes in Wednesday night for another late tip, 9 p.m. tip-off. Lucas, what do you think? The students will show – like when I was in school, the Florida game, that was always big.
Yeah, I mean, from my I've said it since like January that the Florida game was the only game for the rest of the year that I really cared to go to. So I'll be at the Florida game. I think most students are like that. Like the Florida game is the one game left that especially the seniors, like, okay, that's a good last game. That's just my perspective.
I think after tonight, people will show up for senior day against Georgia. Like that game all of a sudden feels a little bit bigger.
That's
you don't get swept.
It's almost bigger than Florida from a standpoint of like if Florida comes in here and beats you, yeah, that's gonna suck ass. But at least that's a quadrant one loss. Like if Georgia comes in here and beats you, last regular season game of the year, I mean, oh, that's a kick in the teeth. Total kick in the teeth.
I'd still rather beat Florida than beat Georgia, though, when it comes to those two games, putting them up against each other.
I think people will show up for Florida. I just hope the crowd – because I've been to games this year where the crowd's been great in terms of capacity, but just not loud.
If I told you right now, four games left, you'll win both your home games against Florida and Georgia, but you'll lose both your road games, would you take it, or is losing at Ole Miss unacceptable?